5, and we're rapidly moving toward the end of James, and I think, and pray, if you would, for me, I think, I did a series on Jude about 4 years ago, and I've got those study notes and revamping them a little bit, perhaps Jude, but I really think maybe if the book of Ephesians, amen, which is a tremendous book of the Bible as well. On Wednesday nights after the Christmas break, and we'll just see how that works out. Let's stand, amen. We're going to read two verses tonight. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. This is our 42nd lesson in five chapters of James, amen. And I had a friend of mine, Stephen Russ, as a matter of fact, he preached our youth revival. He said, "I preached James in 12 lessons. I said, "No, you didn't. You read it." Amen. Well, there's so much meat in here. Amen. And Brother Stephen said, "I just didn't want to get bogged down." I said, "Well, if we spin our wheels in the Bible, that's okay." Amen. And everybody's different. Praise God. Every preacher's different. He kind of gave a basic outline of James and then gave it to his people to study out. Amen. I've just been enjoying the study so much. Praise God. Verses 7 and 8, we're just reading two verses tonight. So let's read them together. Wonderful verses of Scripture. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. Ready? Let's begin. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Father, bless now again is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In your introduction, if you've got your sheet there, patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue. Have you ever heard that? Many times. Amen. And then some of us retort back, but not all are virtuous. Amen. Patience is definitely a virtue. Endurance is also a virtue. Blank line there. Patience is a virtue, and endurance is a virtue. There's a lot of people that start the marathon, Mr. Jordan, but very few people that finish it. Amen. That's because endurance is a virtue. It's a discipline. Amen. In our next two lessons, we will be examining the subject of, two blank lines there, patiently enduring. Patiently enduring. And I don't know about you, Brother Holy, but those are two things that my flesh doesn't like very much. I don't like being patient, and I don't like enduring. I want things now. Amen. And I think about that, and the truth is, on Thanksgiving, if you want to, you can have chicken nuggets out of the microwave, but I'd rather have a turkey that takes a little while to cook. It's a lot better. Amen. And patiently enduring. Number one, I want you to notice the prominence. Roman numeral number one, the prominence there. And that is verse 7. We see it, verse 7, right off the bat, it says, "Be patient." Be patient. Amen. And so number one under there, we see the patience. We see patience. And we see the prominence of patience here. We see it in verses 7 and 8 and verses 10 through 11, blank line there. Patience in its various forms is used 6 times in this text. James chapter 5 verse 7 there says, "Be patient." And that is the Greek word makrothumeo. Okay, that's used several times here. Makrothumeo. And that's be patient. And then further down, you see where it says there, "hath long patience." Same Greek word. Then in verse 8, we see just the little English word "be." But that's the same Greek word there. It's carrying the thought of patience in. And then also patient, same Greek word again. Down in verse number 10, a little bit different derivative of the word there, patience. We see it at the end. "For the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." Amen. And the definition there, patience, forbearance, fortitude, long-suffering, amen, patience. And then verse 11, different Greek word used there, hupon eme. And that's, ye have heard of the patience of Job. We've said that many years in America. By the way, we used to have a biblical language in America. It's, you'd see a guy driving crazy, you'd say, that guy's driving like Jehu. That guy, nowadays, kids look at you, what's a Jehu? Amen. That guy's driving like, boy, that dear woman has the patience of Job, people would say. And it meant something right here out of the text. That Greek word there, we talked about cheerful or hopeful endurance, consistency, enduring, patience continual. Boy, how about that? Patient continuance, waiting. You have heard of the patience of Job. So we see the prominence here. Six mentions of the term patience. But then we see in verse 7, not only the patience, we see pondering, don't we? It says in verse 7, be patient therefore. We learned in Bible college a great principle. When you see the word wherefore or therefore, ask yourself what it's there for. What's the therefore, therefore? It always points back to the previous scripture. That's called contextual interpretation. You're interpreting it in the context. Why? Because it's very important that we do that. You can make the Bible say whatever you want. Do you know that? Okay. Here's all scripture. Ready? All scripture. Judas went and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. What thou do as quickly, that thou receive a full reward. That's all scripture. And it's all out of context. And it's all out of context. Amen. You want to stay within the context. By the way, that's what expository teaching and preaching will help you do. Amen. Help you stay right there in the Bible. This, what's the pondering that's going on here? What does God want us to ponder? Well, the Holy Spirit moves James from the false hope of the ungodly, riches. Remember, that's what we studied about in the first six verses of chapter 5. The Holy Spirit moves James from the false hope of the ungodly, riches, to the firm hope of the Christian, patiently awaiting Christ's return. That's what he wants us to ponder here. He shows us the patience. He shows us the pondering here. Be patient, therefore. Why? Because God is going to deal with the ungodly rich in His time. So think about that. And think about the coming of the Lord. So the patience, the pondering. And then who are the people here that are to ponder and to be patient? What does it say in the text? 5:3. Be patient, therefore, brethren. He's talking to Christians here. Amen? He had been talking to the ungodly rich. Now he's talking to Christians. He says, brethren, be patient, therefore, brethren. We see everything that's going on. Brother Abe, during his prayers, we were praying up here. He said, pray. The president's supposed to make an announcement tomorrow on illegal immigration. But that's what it is, illegal immigration. Talking about amnesty or shamness. You know what? Be patient, therefore, brethren. Just hang in there. Listen, and I'm not being unkind, folks. He's on our prayer list, but Barack Obama's not our king. Jesus Christ is our King. By the way, George Bush wasn't my King either. And neither was Ronald Reagan or anybody else. Amen. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Amen. And He is the one in whom our hope is. Amen. So, the prominence, patience, pondering, people. God is driving home a point. That is, believers need patience. Amen. Right, Miss Teal, out there in the foyer? Believers need patience. Just that God won't give everybody twins like He did you. Amen. Number two, we have not only the prominence, and that is the word patience is used all the way throughout this passage, but we have, number two, the picture. The picture in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And here's the picture. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath What kind of patience? Long patience. Long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. The picture here is the husbandman waiteth. God is truly the master illustrator, isn't he? By the way, Jesus is God. Jesus used a lot of farm illustrations. Amen. Talked about the husbandman. So God is truly the master illustrator. And here, he aptly uses the illustration of the farmer who patiently waits for his crops. And God's amazing here too. He puts in here the early and latter rain. That early rain is that November rain. Softens up that ground, amen. And that latter rain coming later in the spring after the snow's all melted down. And what does it all do? It helps the crop to grow. But Brother Howard, the corn doesn't grow in a day. It doesn't grow. He hath long patience for it. And you know, I don't think it's an accident that God uses the farmer illustration here. You know, the farmer just doesn't sit with his feet up while the crops are growing. He's busy. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're not supposed to stand on a hill like some people have over the years in white robes waiting for the Lord to come. We're supposed to be watching and serving. And will He find us faithful when He comes? Amen. If He does, by the way, we won't be ashamed before Him at His coming, as 1 John 3:3 says. So the picture is a simple picture. It's the picture of the farmer, the husbandman waiteth. Number one, the prominence. Number two, the picture. Number three, we see the path in verse number 8. The path. What is the path there? It says, "Be ye also patient and establish your hearts." Number one, we see the reiteration. Again, God says, look, in verse 7, I told you, be ye therefore patient, brother. I'm saying it again. Be patient. You know, patience is one of those things. It is not easy to be patient. I tell you, the more, Brother Jeff, we get into technology and things, you know, you'll move your phone here and you look something up and you can look it up in seconds. And then when it takes 10 seconds instead of 5, you think, what is wrong with this thing? I need to just... Boy, years ago you had to go to the library to look stuff up. Amen. Boy, we're not a patient lot, are we? By the way, God knows we're not. That's why 6 times in this text, He told us, be ye therefore patient. Be patient. Amen. So we see the reiteration there. And then number two, we see the direction. What's the direction that we see? Well, you see it in verse 8. It's one little word there, and it's the word establish. Establish your hearts. Now, the Greek word here translated establish, blank line there, is the word sterizo. Sterizo. Greek word here, meaning, and it's got just some wonderful, rich meanings here. It means to make stable. Well, that'd be a good path to get on. A stable path. Amen. How many times you ever work with somebody and say, boy, that guy's an unstable soul. Amen. Not very established. Amen. We've all worked with somebody who bounced from job to job to job to job to job to job. Listen, I've been in a church where people have bounced from church to church to church to church to church. And I'll tell you exactly, I'm thinking of one fellow in particular. I said, you need to establish yourself. You need to set your roots down in a Bible-preaching church. Stable. Another, you read some of the other definitions there. Place firmly, set fast, fix, to strengthen. To strengthen, to establish. Make firm, to render constant. I appreciate so much the home that I grew up in. I've mentioned so many times, my mom worked at a bank for 30 years. My dad worked at a machine shop for 35 years. And every day, mom got home at 4:30, dad got home at 5:40. You know what that was? Stable. Stable. How thankful I am for that stability in my life. You know what God is saying here? This path that He wants brethren to go on, He wants us to get us to establish our hearts. Listen, the world is on fire. All this stuff everywhere around us. Even in our own country, my goodness, Christians can't pray without some atheist suing. But I'll tell you what, it's nothing compared to what's going on over there in the Middle East. With this ISIL and ISIS literally beheading Christians and citizens of the world is on fire. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to establish your heart. Listen, if I could say it this way as your pastor, settle down. Settle down. Shh. Settle down. God's on the throne and Jesus is coming soon. Amen? And that's where we look at our last point tonight. We look, number one, at the prominence. Number two, at the picture. Number three, at the path. Number four, at the panorama. What's the panorama? The end of verse 8. It says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." A panoramic photo allows a person to see the big picture. You remember years ago, you used to have to take a picture and you'd have to go like this. You'd have to go click. Then you'd have to go click. Then you'd have to go click. Now you'd have to go click. Amen. And take those four photos and maybe take a little scotch tape on the back and put them together. By the way, now you can just take your phone literally and just go like this. And it'll put it all together. Amen. It's a panoramic photo, allows us to see the big picture. You know what the panorama is? The return of Christ gives us a proper view of everything. Listen to me. If you really believe Jesus is coming, you're not going to be covetous. Right. Amen? If you really believe Jesus is coming, you'll do your best to try to tell people about Jesus. If you really believe Jesus is coming, you won't be 2 months behind on your tithe. No. Amen? Amen. Pastor, have you been looking at the... I don't look at anything. Amen? Mr. and Mrs. Kelly, Mr. and Mrs. McGee, Miss Boston, look at that stuff. And they don't even look at that. They just look at the numbers and the envelope number. Amen. Listen, if you really believe Jesus is coming, you'll read your Bible. See, that's the panorama. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I think you precious saints that have been saved 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Coming up right around the bend, Miss Alcock, Lord willing, will be a member of this church for 70 years. She joined when she's a 7-year-old girl. You know what? She believed when she was 7, I'm sure, that Jesus was coming soon. And it's 70 years closer.
That's right.
Brother Jeff, that's the whole Babylonian captivity. Amen. You know what? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Yeah, the world is on fire. Yep. Yeah, we need to do our part. We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. Amen. All those things. But you know what? Settle down. Lord's going to come and it's going to be over. And that's what this is all about. Patiently enduring. Not easy to be patient, but it's a lot easier to be patient when you know what's at the end.
Amen.
That's heaven and the Lord.
Amen.
Our loved ones. Amen. Father, thank You for this glorious passage of Scripture. It tells us, Lord, that You're in control. And that husbandman, he waits, and he serves, and he tills, and he waters, and Lord, but one day You're going to come. Lord, help us to be found faithful when You come. Help us to live as though You died this morning, rose this afternoon, and are coming back this evening. Help us, Father, to live for You. Help us to be patient, to patiently endure. We love You. Thank You for all that You give to us. Thank You most of all for dying on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. How about page 194, ladies? Amen. I think that'd be a good one to end on tonight. Amen. Page